11, chapter 3, liberation from the illusory energy. And today's text is number 34. Sri Raja Uvacha. Just my coming. Narayana Bhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishtham Arhatano Bhaktum. Yuyam hi Brahma Vittama Shiraj Vacha Narayana Bhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishtham Arhatano Bhaktum Yuyam hi Brahma Vittama Sri Raja Vacha Narayana Bhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishtham Arhatano Vaktum Yuyam hi Brahma Vittama Shiraja Vacha Sri Raja Uvacha. The king said, Narayana Abhidhanasya. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead named Narayan. Brahmana. Of the Absolute Truth. Parama Atmanaha. Of the Super Soul, Nishtham, the transcendental situation. Arhatha, you may kindly naha to us vaktum speak yuyam all of you he indeed brahma vittamaha the most expert knowers of the supreme. Translation. King Nimi inquired, please explain to me the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord Narayana, who is himself the absolute truth and the supersoul of everyone. You can explain this to me because you are all most expert in transcendental knowledge. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, in the previous verse, the sages informed the king, Narayana Paromayam Anjastarati Dushtaram. Simply by unalloyed devotion to Lord Narayana, one can very easily cross over the ocean of material illusion. Therefore, in this verse, the king is requesting specific information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. It is significant in this verse that the king refers to the Supreme Lord as Narayana, Brahman and Paramatma. Although King Nimi is already understood to be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his question he wants to clarify that the Personality of Godhead is the highest transcendental truth. In the Bhagavatam 1-11, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Therefore, it is to be understood that the word Narayana in this verse refers to the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. Generally, the speculative philosophers become attracted to the impersonal Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, whereas the mystic yogis meditate upon the Paramatma, the Supersoul within everyone's heart. On the other hand, those who have achieved mature transcendental knowledge surrender directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who is eternally situated in his own abode called Vaikuntha Dham. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly says, Brahmano hi pratishthaham. I am the source of the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Supersoul, Shirodakashaya Vishnu, is a secondary plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. King Nimi wants the sages to make clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original feature of the Absolute Truth, and therefore he places his question before the next of the nine Yogendras, Pipalayana. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the word Nishtha can also be translated as firm faith. In this sense, Nini Maharaj is inquiring about the process of developing perfect faith in the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Nishtha. Uma Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshirunritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ahyam Dadati Swapadantakam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sagadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Raghuna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sati Devi Panavami Haripriye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Atitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So today what I would like to do is, because there is so much questions and answers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, different personalities asking questions from their seniors, and the answers are being given. So I just looked through a few of the different conversations, and in summary I will explain what they said. So here we see King Nini is inquiring from the nine Yogendras. And we also have Narad and Vyas. Vyasadev, he was bewildered and he wasn't sure about his translation. And so he was feeling despondent after he had written so many books and so much philosophy. He was still feeling despondent, so he approached Narad Muni for explanation. And then there is Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, of course. Then Maitreya and Vidura. And again Narad Muni came up with Prachina Barhishat, and there are others also, but I thought I will stick to these. So Vyasadev was not feeling very confident about what he has written, and he had just written all these different philosophical books. And then finally he did the Mahabharata, and he still wasn't feeling confident. And so he asked Narad Muni. Narad Muni, of course, actually was already on his way to his cottage, and he reached the cottage there of Vyasa on the banks of the Saraswati. Just as Vyasadev was regretting his defects, and Vyasa immediately asked, "I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge due to your being the offspring of one who is self-born." And that one was Lord Brahma. And he was self-born because he has no mundane mother or father. And Narada Muni replied, "You have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless." And Srila Prabhupada, he explained that the reason why one can actually feel the bliss, one can actually feel contentment within this world, is by learning the self-realization, may one understanding Krishna consciousness, and following in the footsteps of his Guru Maharaj. He thought, when he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he thought that the message of self-realization is in good hands, being in the hands of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Narad Muni continued, he said, "Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows." There's pilgrimage for crows and pilgrimage for swans. So that place where there is no talk about the Supreme Lord, there is no description of the Lord's pastimes, it is considered to be like pilgrimage for crows. "Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there." And then the verse is quoted, the famous verse is quoted in 1.5.11. "Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadha varyatyapi namanyanantasya yashon kitani yat Shrinvanti Gayanti Grimanti Sadhava. These are famous words. Shrinvanti Gayanti Grimanti Sadhava. Translation says, on the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, form, fame, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words, directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that this is his humble service of translating these books. And even though they may be imperfectly composed, they may have some imperfections, still the message is so pure that one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. And we move on to Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadev Goswami. So Maharaj Parikshit, after he was cursed to die in 7 years, to be bitten by the snake bird, he decided to go, and what he did was, he sat down firmly on the banks of the Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other practices of self-realization. Because transcendental loving service to Krishna is its greatest achievement, superseding all other methods. The same message that one should take up the devotional service. And then when he sat down there, many sages came from all over to be with him. It was amazing how quickly they understood the message and what was going to happen there. It seemed like they had some kind of telepathic message that something great is going to happen there. Let us go there. So from different parts of the universe, there arrived great sages like Atri, Chavana, Sharadvan, Arishtanemi, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Parashara, Vishwamitra, Angira, Parshuram was also there, Utatya, Indra Pramad, Idma Vahu, Medhatiti, Devala, Arishti Shena, Bharadwaj. And other names like Gautama, Pipalara, Maitreya, Aurva, Kavasa, Kumbayoni, Dvaipayana, and the great personality Narada. So he asked, of course, all the questions. The whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam is based on what Maharaj Parikshit have asked Sukadeva Goswami, and we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam all that information is there. Vidura, on the other hand, he asked Maitreya, my dear Brahman, why did the Prachetas meet Lord Shiva on the way? Please tell me how the meeting happened, how Lord Shiva became very pleased with them, and how he instructed them. Certainly such talks are important, and I wish that you please be merciful unto me and describe them. And Maitreya described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, text 20, that I know that you are now Vidura due to the cursing of Mandavya Muni, and that formerly you were King Yamraj, the great controller of living entities after their death. You were begotten by the son of Satyavati, Vyasadeva, and the kept wife of his brother. So Vidura became Yamraj, or Yamraj became Vidura. Same difference. And and Narad and Prachinabharhi, King Prachinabharhi, the kings asked Narad, my dear Lord, We could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Puranjan. King Puranjan is described in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand. But for us, who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult. And Narad Muni replied, the great sage Narad continued, you must understand that Puranjan, the living entity, transmigrates according to his own work into different types of bodies, which may be one-legged, two-legged, three-legged, four-legged, many-legged, or simply legless. So what is the one-legged living entity? Tree? Snake? Not snake. Ghost. The answer is usually is ghost. Ghost will travel on one leg. Two-legged. Human beings. Human beings, that's us. Two-legged. Well, who are three-legged? You're right, it's also human beings, but now they're old and they have to walk with a stick. So those are three-legged, and the four-legged are the animals. Many-legged, like the centipede and those other ones like that. And then simply legless. Snails. That's not the answer given in the Bhagavatam. Snakes is given, serpents. they're considered to be legless. So, transmigrating into these various types of bodies, the living entity, as the so-called enjoyer, is known as Puranjan. That story is very detailed explanation is given in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, Rishabhadeva and his sons, they also had wonderful conversations. And he quoted Lord Rishabhadeva, is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this particular section is describing nine of his sons, the Navayogendras. So he was the one who narrated the very wonderful, famous verse, Nayam deho deha bhajam miloke kastan kaman arhate vidbujam ye. Tapo divyam putrakaye na sattvam shudhye yasmar brahma saukhyam tvanantam. He told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form of life should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. Why? Because by such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. In the summary of the second chapter, which we already finished, now we are on chapter 3, canto 11, chapter 3, it is described there in the summary of Chapter 2, that Lord Rishabhadev, the plenary portion of Vasudev, incarnated as the son of Nabhi. His father was Nabhi. And the oldest of Rishabhadev's 100 sons was whom? Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj was an exalted devotee of Narayan, by whose name this earth, previously called Ajanabha-varsha, became famous as Bharat-varsha. Now, nine of his other sons were widely known as the Navayogendras, and their names are Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayana, who will be speaking, Avirhotra, Drumila, Chamasa, and Karabhajana. They were well versed in knowledge of the self, fixed in their goal, and always striving for perfection. There were nine other sons. They took on the duty of Kshatriyas and became masters of the nine dweeps, comprising Bharatvarsha. So those were nine Yogendras, and nine of them became Kshatriyas, and then they were, so that was how many? 18. Then one of them was the Bharat, the great king Bharat. So that makes 19, and then there were 81 others. You know who they were? They became Brahmins. They were actually expert Brahmins, not just ordinary Brahmins, but they were expert Brahmins in the Smriti doctrines that propagated the path of fruitive sacrifice. So they were they were on the opposite side. They were doing fruitive activities. And so this is a this is just a little summary of some of the discussions are taking part in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is wonderful to see how all these different dialogues are describing basically the same subject matter. If one wants to remain in the material world for a long time, then he takes up to fruitive activities and engage in material life, going through it over and over, take birth and fruitive activities and die and do it over and over. And if one wants to solve the problems of life, then he takes up devotional activities, which we are, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are getting a chance to to engage in now, and especially in this month of Kartik, we can take full advantage. So I'll stop there and see if there's any questions or comments.
Subject matter is repeating again and again and again.
It could become boring, you're thinking. Doing the saying the same thing over and over could become boring. But the nature of transcendental knowledge is that it's ever fresh. It's described that the transcendental knowledge of self-realization is eternally fresh. And actually makes one happy. One feels very satisfied inside by reading or even or hearing or discussing the devotees of the Lord. By discussing, how is that? That one also. But I'm thinking about the one of. Vaikuntha, the verse Narad Tishtami Vaikunthe, Narad Tishtami Vaikunthe, that the Lord is not in Vaikuntha, he is in that place where his devotees are chanting his glories. And the devotees who are chanting the glories, they are also in Vaikuntha. When you chant the glories of the Lord, you are actually in Vaikuntha. And so all of these descriptions are there of how one can glorify the Lord and in this way solve all the problems of life. Anything else?
You went from fruitive activities to devotional service. Can you explain a little more? I mean, this must must be some kind of link between, you know, material activities to spiritual activities.
Your fruitive activities means just that we work for our own fruit. We do all the activities for material enjoyment, for getting a house, getting a good job, maintaining family life, and have nothing to do with spiritual life. Those who spend all their time just working hard and no time for religious activity, they're considered fruitive workers. They're just getting their fruit and enjoying the fruit themselves, no sacrifice. In spiritual life, we also work, but we work with a different understanding. We work with a different frame of mind, that everything we receive, we offer it in the service of the Lord. And then we take the remnants. And in that way, by making the sacrifice, it is a sacrifice that helps us to tread the path of self-realization. Without sacrifice, without sacrifice, we don't make any spiritual advancement. And the best sacrifice, the best of all sacrifices, is to what? Is to chant, yeah, exactly. Is to chant.